And now, if we could ask the employer group to come up to the front, that would be terrific. So, Jim, you're going to kick us off. Jim Bly is Head of Labour Market and Pensions Policy at the CBI. Do you want to speak from there? Or do you want to... Yeah, great.
Thank you very much, James. Good morning. I'll keep this relatively brief. I think the key issues for employers at the moment on pensions are all focused around 2012, but also focused around DB at the same time. And it's difficult to have a conversation with an employer about what's coming up in October, what's coming up in the next sort of 2, 3, 4, 5 years, without thinking about the legacy and what's really holding them back from offering really exciting, innovative new pension arrangements. So I wanted to touch on a couple of those points this morning. First, very briefly, just in terms of the environment and the landscape for business. I'm obviously from the CBI, so we represent 240,000 businesses of all shapes and sizes across the country. The businesses we've been speaking to this year seem a lot more positive now than they did, say, 3, 4, 5 months ago. They seem more positive for the future direction of travel for the economy this year, for the Eurozone this year, but also for their businesses. But they're still sitting on £750 billion worth of cash, cash that they need to invest if we're going to start really getting the economy growing. There are some really big challenges that employers are trying to meet and trying to face with their own businesses. We went through a period of lockdown or shutdown a few years ago, when businesses locked down their costs or they closed down their business or certain elements of their business in order to survive or in order to restructure. I think that has now gone, but people are still thinking a little bit more closely about what they can still do to try and contain costs and try to contain the risks that they face as well. So October 2012 for the biggest businesses is not a particularly special event. It's a time when they're thinking about the business first and about reward and employee motivation and engagement as a key part of that. But then also enrollment for pensions has come up by a little bit of surprise. Not necessarily for those very big companies, but for those companies who are coming down the tracks later on. For them, I think they're looking at the complexity. They're looking at the administrative complexity, and they're looking at how they can get to grips with a new system that's fundamentally very complicated. Businesses do support what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to pay in, you're going to have to pay in, a minimum 3% of employees' salary, but also with more on top coming from them and more on top in terms of admin. And this is the really big concern for them. The Act, the Pensions Act 2008, has an awful lot in it. It has an awful lot that's written on the face of the Act, which says that employers must go through 10, 20, 30 different hurdles before they can auto-enroll and before they can start taking people out of schemes or can start working with what they're going to do. They can't provide advice. It's very difficult for them to really operate in a landscape that's rigidly protected by the 2008 Act. So something they're saying to us at the moment is, what can government do, particularly for the smaller companies who are coming in 2014, 2015, 2016 and onwards? Is there a way, for instance, that government might be able to strip out some of the contents of the face of the Act and make the administration and the processes much simpler by putting what's on the in the Act into regulations or guidance behind it to try and make sure that they can comply without falling foul of the administrative hurdles, meeting a regulator they've never spoken to before, and facing difficulties there? So I think for bigger companies, the admin is a huge problem, but for smaller companies and medium-sized companies, it's going to be an even bigger problem in the years to come. So what we're looking at is ways in which we can do this and improve the system. And that's something I think I'd be very grateful to get your views on this morning, but also to get the views of the rest of the panel as well. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much, Jim, for kicking us off. And now Mike, who is the National Policy Chairman at the Federation of Small Businesses.
A very, very good morning, everyone, and thank you for inviting me to talk to you on the FSB's perspective on this and our members' views on the whole issue of auto-enrollment. There seems to have been a very long and sometimes tortuous route since 2005, and we still have a few years to go before the majority of our members will be dealing with auto-enrollment. But I think the Minister's opening comment this morning about that letter from an employer epitomised some of the issues very much around how the employer does not understand the very word pensions in the same way that our employees often don't either. So let's go back a step or two and look at where the FSB has been coming from. We've always been supportive of automatic enrolment, and we fully supported the recommendations of Turner's report back in 2005. However, that simple process that was originally envisaged seems to have become far less easy to administer, of course, once employers became obliged to have choice in what they needed to do for auto-enrolment and what their employees had to do. The procedure which small businesses must now comply with is indeed far more onerous than was ever envisaged at the start. And our focus has always remained on the administrative burden and therefore not just the cost but the time that that takes on members and their businesses. So 60% of small business owners believe that pension should be an individual's responsibility still and that the pension reforms will have a negative impact on their business. 73% of small businesses are certainly not confident in their ability to even choose a pension scheme, and that poses a problem for the industry going forward, I'm sure. And of course, small business owners are often no different and sometimes less understanding of the word pensions than our employees. The recently announced delay, of course, to automatic enrolment process for firms with less than 50 employees until 2015 does, though, we believe, provide an ideal opportunity to address some of these concerns. The delay will only be worthwhile, though, if a further and full impact assessment is published with a view to substantially reducing the administrative burden for small firms. We think that the burden of compliance with any qualifying scheme under the current Act is disproportionate to the benefits that will be gained for any business with less than 10 employees. And it is for this reason we have called for there to be an exemption for micro-businesses going forwards. DWP Modelling, of course, has said that it will cost micro-firms with up to 4 employees only £46 per person per year in administration. And we do believe that this is a gross underestimation of the actual time the process will take and indeed the cost. We are concerned that employers will be penalised for minor errors as opposed to deliberate non-compliance and have always advocated that a light touch approach would have been far more appropriate. For example, if there must be a fixed penalty notice for a first mistake, then the level that's currently being introduced at £400 seems somewhat excessive, and we would advocate that that should be far, far less and on a similar level and comparable to any HMRC penalties. Joined up and effective communication is absolutely paramount, but DWP, NEST and TPR are all issuing different communications in their own right. And without good communications in place, employers will face difficult conversations when their staff question why a proportion of their earnings is now having to go into a pension scheme rather than into their own pockets. And in our view, it is up to the provider going forwards to produce and distribute all relevant communication to pension scheme members. This should not and must not become the employer's responsibility. There is also concern about the impact of auto-enrolment on employees earning a low income. And of course, the worst-case scenario would be if those on low incomes lost entitlements to benefits from the state upon retirement because they had opted into a workplace pension. Most small businesses, we believe, will choose NEST as their company pension scheme. And our primary concern now is whether NEST will be able to achieve that critical mass to deliver what it is expected to achieve. And we call for this to be a government priority going forwards, as well as for the contribution cap to be removed and for NEST to be able to accept transfers. The FSB is a member and fully supports the activity of the Working Group on Transparency and Pension Charging, and we believe that ensuring pension scheme providers provide as much detail as possible to potential members is of prime importance if we are to restore faith in pension provision going forwards. And the information provided by the pensions industry must, we believe, be clear, simple to understand, written in plain English, and transparent to benefit both employer and employee. Government has said that it has the powers to prevent excessive charging, and we hope that if excessive charges do emerge, that the government will indeed intervene. Things to be aware of. In the media over Easter, we heard the minister speak about replacing final salary pensions, which have become too expensive for many private firms. He said many firms have switched to DC schemes where members pay into investment funds, but those plans rely, of course, on the performance of the financial markets, making it hard for workers to predict their income in retirement. He wants to find a model where the risks are more evenly shared between employer and employee. However, at the moment, no document has been published, so we don't know how much, and it would seem a sensible idea in principle from a societal point of view. However, will not be welcome if it costs small businesses at the larger end of the scale more in administration and cost. And more importantly, as small business owners are certainly not pensions experts, how can they be expected to share the risk? Remember the point that we actually raised about small business owners being liable for a pension scheme choice and how government specifically addressed that in auto-enrolment to reassure us, but there still remains that concern. And secondly, the FSB strongly welcomes the principles behind the consultation on meeting future workplace pension challenges, improving transfers and dealing with small pension pots. And as we said in our response, we do not have the expertise to comment specifically on individual models. Instead, we would stress that the principles outlined below must be borne in mind, and these are that there must be a strong commitment across the pension industry to make this work. There must be no additional expense, administrative or compliance burden for all employers, and any solution, of course, must be cost-effective for the scheme members. Finally, of course, the mixed and vexed issue of public sector pensions always remains a concern for our members in the background, and, of course, the long-term unsustainability that goes alongside of those. These, we do believe, need to be tackled more robustly and head-on, and it is wrong for small business owners and our employees who cannot afford a proper pension to have to continue in a model that is unsustainable for public sector gold-plated schemes. So, key to going forwards is restoring confidence in the very word pension, effective and appropriate communication that is meaningful, and remembering what Turner intended back in 2005. And maybe, as a thought, we should have simply used stakeholders, but now that we have auto-enrolment, we have to make that work for our workforce, both from the employer's point of view and for all of us in society, if we are to have a half-decent retirement when we come to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. And now to finish the employer view, Roger, giving us a view from the IFA and employers that you talk to and your members talk to.
Indeed. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to attempt to give an intermediary perspective of where we are. I should preface my remarks by saying over the last 12 months I've moved from a position of fairly deep pessimism to gentle optimism as to the future of auto-enrolment. Our group was asked to address the issues of administration, participation rates, what to look for from providers, communications, use of technology, engagement strategies, etc., and finally, regulatory and legislative framework, how can government make life easier? So I'm going to attempt to skate over those. One thing I would say, that Nest are coming up with their own 8 golden rules of communication next month, and if their 8 employer duties are anything to go by, that should actually help the communication. First point is that we are all end customers. Admittedly, the employer is the initial consumer in auto-enrolment, but employees, members, and the self-employed, we mustn't forget them in the brave new world, all are customers. Employees are going to be looking to their employers for guidance, and the question is, where are the employers going to be looking? Survey in 2009-2010 indicated quite loudly that 65% of employers are going to be looking at accountants for help. 65% will be looking at IFAs or at employee benefits consultants, and 18% will be looking to the employer organisations. The figure for intermediaries goes up to 75% when you look at small employers. And you'll have heard just now that the start dates for small employers have been pushed back. If you have fewer than 50 employees, you're now looking at 2015. 2015, and if you're fewer than 30, you're looking at 2017. Now, employer administration is going to be a big challenge, particularly for the smaller firms and indeed the micro firms that we've heard mentioned. And with the best will in the world, it's going to creak. The DWP estimate is, shall we say, on the low side. And there is a realisation in a recent survey that two-thirds of employers admit it's going to cost them more to deal with auto-enrolment. They're going to have to spend more on admin. There's a role here for intermediaries in providing an administration service for auto-enrolled schemes, regardless of whether it's Nest or whether it's one of the new schemes, particularly for those employers with fewer than 50. And watch this space is what I would say there. Moving on to participation rates, and interestingly, the consumer input earlier didn't actually look at what good would look like with the participation rates. That's a question I would leave hanging. Now, the recent NAPF survey made for very depressing reading when they said that one-third would be opting out, 35% surveyed said they can't afford to contribute, and 23%, for good measure, said that they don't trust the government on pensions. But actually, I take the view that this is probably more of a reflection of the general air of disenchantment that's caused by the thought of austerity politics until 2017. And this, in fact, is mirrored by a Downing Street poll last month, which said that 40% of Britons would emigrate if they could. More optimistically, the market noise from the world of IFAs and employee benefit consultants is really encouraging, particularly those of us dealing with firms with fewer than 500 staff. This indicates quite emphatically that anticipated opting out rates are likely to be below 20%. Admittedly, there's some risk that employers will be tempted to level down existing benefits, but many other employers are wanting to use the opportunity to grasp this by the neck, as it were, and actually come up with something better than the minimum requirement. So will 20% be seen as the good rate in the future? Arguably, possibly, yes, if employee turnover rates are in the range of 10 to 15% a year, then a 20% opt-out or less may be good. Communications obviously are going to be vital. A third of the target market is female, and a third is aged under 30. So that combined group constitutes what I would call the key cohort. And they should respond to targeted and personal communication more easily than older groups. There's been a survey of the experience with 401ks in the States, and it shows quite clearly there if additional communications are sent out to those groups, in addition to the normal announcement of please join the scheme, it produces a much higher level of engagement and take-up. Perception, of course, is all. And a recent survey indicated that 49% of workers think that AE will be a tax and 51% think it will be a benefit. So we've got to engage with them. We've got to engage also with the 25% of employees and 40% of women who are actually in employment at the moment and could join a scheme but have not bothered to do so. And interestingly, the DWP did a project a few years ago called the Informed Choices Project, which said that to get the biggest take-up, you needed constant employer engagement and communication and the use of peer group pressure within the workplace. And that last point cannot be underlined enough. Technological advances are rapidly coming along. Employers are using intranets, benefits platforms, paperless and automated systems, and that's gradually trickling down to the smaller employer groups. But in the background, there's a quiet revolution going on. Unbelievably, the established providers are getting their acts together. We'll hear more on that, I'm sure, in a moment. But we have a new generation, and we must get our heads around this, a new generation of auto-enrolled pensions coming out, which won't be like the group personal pensions and DC schemes of old. There will be all electronic. Providers will be coming up with hubs to deliver a range of benefit options to employers and members, not just auto-enrollment membership, as well as linking to Nest. And many employers will see the need to have two suppliers, Nest and one other, or one of the new schemes and a better scheme for higher earners. So Providers have had to respond to competition on price, design, effective delivery administration, links to payroll, and, of course, with the arrival of the new kids on the block, the master trusts, we are seeing some really interesting competition on price and scheme design. The question was asked, how can government make it easier? My immediate reaction was to say, by staying out of the way and resisting the temptation to fine-tune. I mean, you've only got to look at the negative impact that the New Zealand government's 2011 budget has had on Quick KiwiSaver to see the evidence of that. But actually, more seriously, the government actually needs to be a facilitator, not a blocker, to stand up for us in what may be coming over the horizon from Europe. And I particularly like Liz's earlier comment about the use of voluntary codes rather than outright regulation in order to deliver the optimal outcome for consumers and members of schemes. And then finally, we move into the world of auto-enrolled schemes. In a very real sense, this is a regulated product. This is going to be different from what's gone before. Many intermediaries actually have not woken up to this difference yet. The requirement for provider selected, repeat that, provider selected default investment funds is one of the key beneficial features of this new landscape. This difference will completely change intermediation, distribution, and advice processes. And if my experience last year as a guide, when we onboarded one of the first ever Nest schemes in the UK, this experience harks back, ironically, to the days long gone of implementing new DB schemes, when fund selection and performance was not an area of interest for prospective members. They only wanted to know what it was going to cost them and often had no interest in what it was costing the employer. This time around, however, in a DC world or even a DA world, it will be essential for members to appreciate not only how much the employer is contributing, but also for the value of tax credits, which is often forgotten. With those responsible for financial education, stand up the MAS, please, to get the message across on the benefits of long-term saving, pound cost averaging, etc. So in short, we have a marvellous opportunity. We have a time now to prepare to look for the smaller employers to get it right, but auto-enrolment coupled with the reaction from the provider community is revolutionising access to pensions and their cost. Thank you.